I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The Sabres released their 2019-20 season schedule. The season kicks off in Pittsburgh on Thursday, October 3rd. Buffalo will host the Devils on Saturday, October 5th for their home opener. The St. Louis Blues announced they signed head coach Craig Berube to a 3-year contract. Berube, who was originally named interim head coach on November 2018, led the Blues to the 2019 Stanley Cup Championship and was a finalist for the 2019 Jack Adams Award. Amherst native Brooks Orpik announced his retirement after 15 NHL seasons this morning. Orpik, a defenseman, had a total of 194 points in 1,035 regular season games with the Pittsburgh Penguins and Washington Capitals. He is a 2-time Stanley Cup champion, one with each of those two teams. The NFL released the 2019 training camp start dates. The Buffalo Bills will be at St. John Fisher College in Rochester, and the rookies will report to camp on July 22nd. Veterans will report on the 24th, and the first practice is on Thursday, July 25th. Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill is expected to meet with the NFL investigators in Kansas City tomorrow regarding recent child abuse allegations. The Johnson County District Attorney's Office announced earlier this month that the criminal investigation is no longer active. Hill has been banned by the Chiefs from team activities since April 26th, when audio was released by KCTV 5 of Hill and his fiancée discussing injuries suffered by their son. He remains subject to a suspension under the NFL's personal conduct policy. And the Buffalo Bisons extended their winning streak to 7 games last night with a victory over the Pawtucket Red Sox last night. They face the Paw Sox again tonight in Pawtucket at 7:05 p.m. That is your sports update. We are pleased to be joined right now by one of the all-time greats NFL players, and he was a great player, true, but he was also known for one of the things he also did extremely well, maybe better than anybody ever, and that was talk trash. John Randall mic'd up by NFL Films, and here's what he sounded like when he played.
Hey, Carla. Hey, Carla, what's up, man? What up, homie? What up? Hey, Billy Nilly. Felt like something just died, Billy Nilly.
Regulators, mount up. We're coming.
Oh, let's go, baby. Let's go.
I threw his ass down. Someone telling me it's on. Bring it on. Get hooked. Way to go, D.
Ding. Round 5 coming up.
J.J. Stokes. You cousin of J.J. Walker.
Now it's time for Johnny come alive. It's Johnny time. It's time.
John Randall, an undrafted player who came into the National Football League, played with the Minnesota Vikings for 14 years, had 137.5 sacks in his career, a tremendously productive NFL player and a Pro Football Hall of Famer. John's on the line with us. John, Steve Tasker and Chris Brown here in Buffalo, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. And shout out to Jeremy Kelly and this. Buffalo Bills legend community.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, thanks. I got to tell you, Johnny, you're a great player, no question about it, but we just had that sound on from NFL Films, and I know you've given a lot of young players advice on how to play well and everything. What advice would you give to someone who wanted to be the best trash talker? What's your best piece of advice?
I guess the best advice would be to go online and read up on your opponent, find out the best information that could possibly give you a key ingredient to making him kind of lose sight of what he's supposed to be doing out there on the football field. Because trash talking was meant basically to get a guy off his game. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
Yeah, you're right, and it's a lot of fun to listen to you because you never always had a little bit of something on that – on those guys you talked to. John Rowney, he went undrafted out of Texas A&M Kingsville in 1990. What were your thoughts coming out, headed into the NFL for the first time?
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? One of my first thoughts was I believe that I belonged in the National Football League. But at the time, teams doubted me because I was undersized. I wasn't the right height. You know, I wasn't like a 6'5 or 6'6. And so teams had a lot of doubt about a guy being 6'2, being able to play in the National Football League, because everyone believed that you had to be the biggest guy, the heaviest guy to play a game which is limited to a select group of guys.
John, how long were you able to use that as fuel? Was that fuel for all 14 years, or, you know, once you made a couple of Pro Bowls, were you like, all right, I'm established, I'm going to come up with another way to kind of give myself some extra juice on a Sunday?
No, I used that for 14 years. That was a lot of time my motivation for training camp, because, you know, back then training camp was so hard. And to me, when by that second week, actually, when guys was kind of feeling tired, feeling as if they had given up. And for me, it just fused me to get going, to show people that even though I was undersized, I was small, I was not going to give up. I was going to treat training camp as if it was the team was thinking about getting rid of me. So it motivated me every day. It motivated me in regular season, every day in practice, to go out there and to prove to people, even though I was from a Division II school, that I belonged out there, even though there was guys from Ohio State, guys from Michigan or USC, that, you know, give a small school a chance to show what we can do.
Why is it possible for undersized guys to be successful in the NFL like you were?
Well, one of the reasons is because the smaller guys, watching film and even watching the game now, the smaller guys are always kind of thinking that in the back of their heads, that they're undersized, that they don't belong. And so the undersized guys, they're always playing as if it's the last place. They take that type of perspective to the game. And you watch the bigger guys, I don't think they give it as much as the smaller guys. So I think sometimes they have a tendency to take a play off because they believe that, well, I'm bigger than this guy and I can just kind of go through the motions and not give it that extra push into it as the undersized guys. And I mean, when you watch a guy like Aaron Donald, you see him out there playing. He's playing as if that first play is his last play. And I think that's the approach with the undersized guys. And another thing about the undersized guys, you know, since you're smaller, it's easier for you to get underneath those bigger guys and to push them back into the quarterback. And for our bigger guys, sometimes you have a tendency to kind of overthink that. Oh, you know what? He's an undersized guy. He's not going to have the power to overpower me. And majority of times, the undersized guy does.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a guy here who was Buffalo's first-round pick who has drawn comparisons to you due mainly to, you know, having similar size as you do, being an undersized, at least what he'll be a three technique here, in Ed Oliver. I don't know how much you saw of Ed, but he was playing head up on the center in college, so it might be hard to make an assessment. But if you have seen Ed, what do you think his prospects are, knowing he's kind of the same kind of body type as you?
One of the things I noticed about from watching him was the way he uses his hands. And he uses his hands right off the bat. And what I mean by that, as soon as he's coming out of his stance, he's using his hands. And that's one of the main biggest things that I did. Was as soon as I came out of my stance, I was getting my hands out there, trying to get the offensive lineman's hands down. And when he's playing against it, when he's going over the center, if anything, that's one of the things I didn't do, because I didn't like going down off in there messing with that center, because you had a tendency to have that guard fall up on you. But if he's able to play up on that center, which he does, man, that just makes his game even better, because he's a guy that can jump down up on that nose and play the center for a couple of plays and hop back out. And that just gives his depth of playing. I think, if anything, he plays it better than I do, because I wasn't able to get up on that center because we had a guy, Henry Thomas, who was to me, playing next to him was one of the best nose guards out there that ever played the game. So I was always virtually in the three technique but playing defensive end. But when you can play up on that center, man, we always used to say, if you can do that, that's a unique position because not many guys are capable of playing over that center.
Yeah, and he was doing it at 285. So now he moves into a 4-3 here in Buffalo. He'll probably be playing three technique for the most part. But can you just explain to the fans, John, how much a penetrating three technique can disrupt things for an offense, everywhere from not letting the center pull because the guy's knifing in there so fast? Just maybe walk us through in layman's terms how a penetrating guy like you were and how Bills fans hope Ed can be can disrupt an offense.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what that three technique, by penetrating that B-gap, he basically stops the offense from running to one certain side of the football field. That's one thing he does because that center can't pull, that guard can't pull, and that takes away one half side of that football field. So the offense is limited into what they can run on the football field. And when you have that penetrating three technique, that makes that guard and that tackle have to tighten their split style so that that defensive end can come around that corner and basically just fly around there and get to that quarterback a lot easier. And another thing that three technique does, when the guards are focusing on the three technique and the center is always looking backside for that three technique, that opens a lot of play for the linebackers because the linebacker can kind of sneak up there and basically just on a blitz or just take off and hit his A-gap. So that's some of the things that the three technique does. And I know I've from playing against so many guys I played against, and now I talk to a lot of these guys who are, since we're done playing, they always used to tell me, you gave our centers problems. It really messed up with our offense. You drove our offensive coordinators crazy because it limits them of what they can basically run on a Sunday or a Monday game.
It's a real domino effect position, for sure.
Yeah, we're talking to John Randall, former NFL defensive tackle from Minnesota and Seattle. 7 Pro Bowl appearances, a Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee in 2010. And, John, I want to ask you, as a guy who played defensive line in the National Football League, how good is this current player that we're watching, Aaron Donald, for the Rams?
He's unbelievable. You know, back in the day, back when I was playing, no one really thought of a defensive tackle as being an MVP. I mean, those words were basically not going to happen. If anything, people were saying a defensive end, or a linebacker, but no one really looked at the three technique being the guy that basically is the most important. And I think for Aaron Donald, and you're watching some of the best type of football that you can see from a three technique to where, you know, the guys, you know, like you're saying, people are saying he's undersized, and he's not supposed to be out there. You know, that's the guy that people are saying, you know what? He can only play maybe a 1 year or 2 years or three at the most, but that guy is not supposed to be doing what he's doing on the football field. And for me, watching him play, it's just so funny and it's just so exciting to see someone out there doing that and having fun with it and changing the outcome of the football game.
Do you think he's can be, you know, thought of in the same breath, the same conversation of great defensive players of the past like Bruce Smith and like Lawrence Taylor?
Yes, I think he can. And but one of the things that's going to be a factor in that is having, I call it almost like having a rope or having someone else out there to kind of take some of the attention away from him. I mean, when you think of when you think of Bruce and all the guys, you got to think of Cornelius Bennett. You got to think of Darren Talley, somebody to kind of take some of the pressure off of him. It's almost like the Michael Jordan having the Scottie Pippen. Because when you're focused on one guy, there's got to be somebody else who all of a sudden can just rise and just take some of the pressure off of him. And for Aaron Donald, that's what he's going to, I think, definitely going to have. I mean, when he had Sue out there, it really made things open up for him because that center really couldn't focus on Aaron because he had Sue to think about. And that took some of the focus away. And when you have that type of combination, man, it's just unbelievable.
Now, John, as Steve mentioned, you know, you're one of the best trash talkers that probably ever was in the league. And our producer, and, you know, kind of researching what you've been up to, came across the Sleep Number commercial. And can you just, first of all, I think it's fantastic, but can you just lay out how it came about and how you kind of fell into that?
Well, you know, Sleep Number Beds, which is located in Minnesota, and I was happened to be working out with a friend of mine and who works for Sleep Number Beds, and we were talking about it, and I was saying that, you know, for me, sleep is one of the essential things that I believe in. I said I believed it when I played football because for the Saturday night, I always wanted a good night's rest. I wanted to make sure that I was comfortable. And I said, that's the same thing that I go through now. I go, now I wish I could get a better sleep. And we got to talking about Sleep Number Bed, and I went down, and he was telling me all these different things that Sleep Number Bed can do for you. And I was kind of not believing it, but once I got down there, and me being an old country boy, I had to get up on the bed and test it out. And I think I virtually went to sleep laying up on his bed and was like, wow, this thing is really comfortable. And, you know, my wife was the other check mark on that. She tried it out and she goes, you know what? I totally agree with you. That Sleep Number Bed, it's so important because when you have that great rest and you get up the next morning, and for instance, when I have to go play golf against a guy like Bruce Smith, having that essential sleep really helps my golf game.
So I got to follow that up, John, because I mean, in the commercial, which some of our viewers just saw, you know, you're putting my bad on all the cookies, you know, for all the nasty things you said to people. If you actually had to send a box or two of those out to somebody, can you think of a player or two off the top of your head that probably deserves those cookies more than anybody else?
Of course. First off the bat would be Brett Favre because, I said a lot of nasty things to that guy. I think the next guy would be Frank Winters, his center, because I always said a lot of nasty things to Frank because I used to always wonder, Frank, you're always sliding towards me. I watched film on you in the previous games, and you would slide away from the three technique. But against me, you keep sliding towards me. And Frank used to say something golfy-offy bad to me, which was basically like, I'll be at your butt every play. So Frank and I had some great conversations, something we can't talk about. But so Frank would be the next guy for me to send some cookies to because he was a great opponent, and I had fun playing against him.
We're talking to John Randall, 7-time Pro Bowler, Pro Football Hall of Famer, one of the all-time great undrafted players who had such huge success in the National Football League. And I want to ask you one thing about your old team, the Vikings. Do you think they can get back to the playoffs this season?
I definitely do. You know, I definitely think with the draft, adding some offensive linemen, and I think adding Kubiak as a kind of an offensive coordinator, and basically my little research on Kubiak, you know, he's from College Station, which is close to where I grew up at, and we've had a conversation in the past couple of months, and I've gotten to know him, and you know what? I think he's a great addition for the organization. I think he's a guy who's going to put his little stamp on the Vikings offense, and I think that's something that we need for Kirk Cousins to have somebody out there who's going to help him get that offense headed in the right direction.
John Randall, former defensive tackle for Minnesota Vikings and the Seattle Seahawks, Pro Bowl 7 times in his career, and he was also inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2010. John, thanks so much for being on. We appreciate you coming on the program with Chris Brown, Steve Tasker here on One Bills Live.
Hey, thank you, guys. Go Vikings!
There you go. John Randall, what a great guy. And I tell you that he mentioned Bruce, and he plays golf with Bruce Smith, a good friend of mine, and of the guys that, you know, these guys go into the Hall of Fame, you know, Bruce, Jim Thurman, and all those guys, and Andre. The guy they meet and do a bunch of stuff with is John Randall. They say he's one of the guys out at the Hall of Fame that would have really fit in the team that we had, the group of guys, personality-wise, that we had.
I could see that.
He would have been a real asset to our team. As a player.
Oh, my God. Him and Bruce on the same
D-line?
It would have been
a lot of fun. Well, yeah, he put another Hall of Famer in there. Yeah, okay. So, yeah it would have been good. But he would have fit in. John Randall would have fit in any place you put him. I mean, that guy was unbelievable. It's amazing. It's about finding a home, I guess, really.
No, you're right. And the thing, too, though, was I was interested to hear from him because when you're initially doubted in the league, it's easy to use that as fuel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I'm that's why I asked him the question I did. After you made two or three Pro Bowls, you know what I mean? Like,
did you kind
of, is that still fuel?
Gas,
is that really fuel anymore? Like, you got to find something else. And he's like, oh, no. Every single day for 14 years, I'm thinking about not being drafted.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah, and I get it. And this is a guy that, well, you live with it, and you kind of you see it everywhere you go, and it kind of sticks with you. But John Randall, one of the truly great
cookies to
guys.
Favre.
Yeah, cookies to Favre.
That's country boy to country boy there.
Yeah,
can you imagine the kind
yeah.
of talk that went out on the field between those two bumpkins?
Yeah. Oh, my
Good
gosh.
Lord.
That is awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. That,
probably some overall jokes in
one
there.
One of the all-time great undrafted players in NFL history. And we got a Twitter poll out there today. Which Buffalo Bill on the roster will have the biggest impact in 2019?
Undrafted Bill.
Which undrafted player on the Bills roster will have the biggest impact in 2019? We've got Zach on the line from Rochester. I'll tell you what, I'll try and fit Zach in right here. He's been on the line for a little bit. Zach, thanks for hanging on, Zach. What's on your mind? Thanks for joining us on One Bills Live. What do you got?
Well, I was going to ask you a question about John Randall, but since he ain't there, I'll answer this. I still think Robert Foster is going to be the most important, biggest impact. For the simple fact is, if they can get just a little bit of wiggle room to get him open, because he's so fast, and you open up the offense like that, he can score more touchdowns, and then it means like they got to cover him and John Brown, the kid that they just got from Baltimore. He is great. I think he was great Arizona, and I think they're both fast. So if they can get that deep pass offense open, it's going to be better for the whole offense.
I agree with you, Zach. Thanks for the call. He's right. I mean, the Bills, one thing that they have done, they got some fast guys. They upgraded the speed at that position in a big way.
There are options everywhere on the field now.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Beasley underneath. You know, it's still up in the air about tight end because Croft's foot injury makes it a little bit of a question mark there. But Zay Jones has proven he can be an underneath receiver because he did that last year. So you have Beasley and Jones underneath, and you got
Brown
and Foster down mm-hmm. the field. You don't have enough defenders to cover all of that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just sit and cover two all day. Beasley and Jones will eat you alive underneath.
Yep.
And then you want to play single high against John Brown and Robert Foster?
Yep.
I'm not doing that. I'm not signing up for that. Are you? That's.
I get you.
I'm not doing it.
It sounds great.
So
we'll see
there's
if it works
options.
Out that way. Yeah. The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. We've got this from Nick. If Beasley can stay healthy and Josh can get or stay accurate on the short underneath or cross routes, Beasley will be a huge help as a safety valve for Josh Allen, added to the revamped offensive line for protection and a run game with the deep threats of Foster and Brown. This O can be good. And that's the kind of scenario that it's easy to envision when you see all these new and shiny pieces to the puzzle that have been added this offseason. Now, you can bet, too, that, you know, like we saw in minicamp, there's going to be this guy, that guy that's going to be in this week, out next week, a nick or a cut here. It's going to, you know, thin the roster with injuries and guys coming back and what the exact mix is, what the game plan is going to be week to week, all remains mm-hmm. to be seen. How productive these guys are going to be. Maybe one or two of these guys don't click with Josh Allen, whatever. Anything can happen. But at first glance, when you think of what they've been doing this offseason, it's very easy to see a scenario where this offense could be way, way better than it
right.
was a year ago.
And I understand why so many people are picking Beasley. There's a bigger body of work there with his career and what he has been able to do for that Dallas offense for so many years, whether it's being the third down chain mover or working underneath and being a check down option for Dak Prescott. I think a lot of people say, well, he's going to come here and be that for Josh, you know, and knowing the number of high percentage throws that are going to be delivered to him underneath, you know, shorter throws, higher percentage for catches. I get why they're saying all that, but I just think all of these added weapons are going to make Robert Foster a more dangerous piece in this offense. And I see him making those difference making plays, which is why I picked him to be the undrafted guy on this roster that's going to make the biggest impact in
all
the
right.
fall.
We're going to take a break. If you want to get on the conversation, there's still time to do that. 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to have What Have We Learned, presented by Advanced Alarms, and also NFL True False. So that's come back and join us after the break. Presented by Kaleida Health, this is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown here on a Tuesday. Beautiful Tuesday. As we're sitting in the break, you know, we always kind of keep track of what the pulse is, and due to the age we live in, the technology allows us to stay on top of anything that's released moment by moment. This just came out from the Cincinnati Bengals. Shoulder surgery likely sidelines Jonah Williams for the entire season. Jonah Williams, that top draft pick offensive lineman that a lot of Bills fans coveted, is not going to play at all for the Cincinnati Bengals this season, it looks like, because of a shoulder injury that he suffered.
I'm just going to say this, and I don't have numbers to prove this. It's just my perception based on the history that we've seen. But I think it's pretty common knowledge that Nick Saban practices his players hard. A lot of padded practices, a lot of contact practices. This is a fifth-year player. These guys get worn down, man. These Alabama players get worn down, especially the ones that play a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's an interesting take. You may be right.
It just seems like a lot of these guys get beat up and their careers don't last as long. Like they last 6 to 8 years instead of 8 to 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
maybe. But this certainly – but I don't know. I mean, this if it's an injury – I don't know that I can chalk it up to things that he did 18 months ago. If something happened when he was training
what have
or
they
practicing,
done?
But well, I don't know. That's just it.
Spring practice. You don't even have pants on.
It's unclear. But here's the thing: if it was something that he's dragging around.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Around with them, their medical people should have known.
Well, yeah, they would
have
seen
him. He would have dropped down the draft list if he'd have had a bad shoulder.
You know who's supposed to start now in his place if he can't play this year?
No.
Cordy Glenn.
Well, there you go. Well, left tackle Jonah Williams. Yeah, you're right. Cordy Glenn was getting moved down to
backup.
Was
status.
He a backup or was he a guard?
Yeah, because they signed Bobby Hart to play right tackle from San Francisco.
Yeah, see, they moved Cordy Glenn over one spot to left guard, that puts Glenn right back out at left tackle. Yeah.
He's going to have to play there.
And Christian Westerman, who has two NFL starts in his three seasons with the Bengals, will take left guard over for Cordy Glenn. So that, you know, I mean, that's
already
just,
shuffling.
Yeah. And it's interesting because we've talked a lot about, you know, this new facility, and I've said it and I've used this word before. It's a paradigm shift here in this building that I have not seen take place in every – you want to talk about a change, and I think a change where the Bills are actually at the forefront. It's in the way they treat their players as injured or possibly injured or recovery.
Yeah, rehabilitation.
The rehabilitation, the things that they do here to keep these guys on the field and healthy and keep them healthy and get them healthy to practice and to play. They lost fewer man games to injury last year than anybody in the National Football League, and it's no accident.
And as encouraging as that might sound to fans because they keep the best players on the field or get them back on the field sooner, imagine the recruiting tool that is to get players here when they see that up close and personal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, these guys actually care about me staying on the field, and I got to stay on the field to make my money. You know, they know it's a performance-based business, and what have you done for me lately? So it's a fantastic recruiting tool. Also,
NFL True False.
Let's do it, man.
All right, NFL True False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. NFL True False number one, Giants wide receivers can be dominant. And that's what one of the Giants wide receivers says.
Right, Cody Latimer said that, right?
That's right.
So he's a former second-round pick of the Broncos from a few years ago when he didn't do a whole lot there, washed out, and is now with the Giants, has been for a season or two now. And he is penciled in as one of the top three receivers on their depth chart, along with Golden Tate, who they signed to giant money in free agency after shipping out Beckham. And they also have Sterling Shepard, their former second-round pick, who's primarily a slot guy.
Cody Latimer, Corey Coleman.
Yeah,
Russell
they picked
Shepard,
up Coleman
Darius
late last
Slayton,
year, kept him on the roster.
And tight end Evan Ingram, we'd throw into that piece.
So while I like Tate, especially as a run after catch option for them, he's 31. Shepard's probably my favorite receiver of that group because I think he's the most dangerous and the guy that can bring the most consistency. But what's his claim? What's Latimer's claim?
They're going to be dominant. as a group?
I'm going to go with no. So yeah, that's a false.
No. I'm going to say no. I don't think their pass offense is going to be
no. Especially if they five. Make the eventual and expected change over to the rookie.
Right.
You know,
the quarterback. Yeah, I get you.
If they're going to Daniel Jones by week six, you're not going to be dominant because you got that guy throwing to you.
Both of us say false to that. So we're going to go on to true and false, NFL true false number two. In season, Hard Knocks should replace training camp coverage with something else. Oh, I see. I got you. Okay, I misread that. I'm sorry. In-season Hard Knocks should replace training camp Hard Knocks. So what they were thinking about doing is taking like, say, for instance, pick a game midway through the season or two-thirds of the way through the season, follow the two teams as they get to that game, and then cover that game as an episode of Hard Knocks, like they do with the Winter Classic in hockey.
You're going to run into 100 more roadblocks from the teams.
Well, it doesn't matter. Should they replace it with that if they can curl all the hot? Do you like that better than training camp?
No, because I don't think you're going to get as much access as you do in training camp. So I'm going with false here. All these storylines and development angles and making a roster or not that you get in training camp, I think coaching staffs feel a little bit more comfortable sharing than in a game week in the regular season. You think they're going to let you sit in on a team meeting or a game plan session or game plan being handed out in the Wednesday morning meeting? That is just not happening.
If they had all the access that you would like them to have, if they had all those, and here's what would happen, Brownie, I can tell you exactly how they would do it. They're going to film it. They're going to start it. It's for a project that is 2 years down the road. And so the 2019 game that you're talking about wouldn't air until 2021.
Who's watching that then?
Right, exactly. But that's the only way coaches would agree to it, because 2 years down the road, you're fine because everything's evolved. You got different players, different things, you know, think different things going on.
Nobody's
then
watching.
Then it would fly. Nobody might watch it.
Not the way they're watching training camp.
Nobody.
It's current. It's access they don't normally get.
You're talking about competitive advantage.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to touch it. Nobody's going to touch it.
So are you false also?
I'm a false. Yeah. Listen, if it all worked well, I would watch it. If it was on now,
right?
I mean, but that would be compelling. You're not going to get it done.
It's unrealistic.
And I wouldn't. If I was a head coach, I would absolutely do it, only kicking and screaming. And I would have secret meetings off the cameras
where you would do all the real things.
I mean, there's no way.
Steve's pulling the curtain.
You can't.
You're not allowed in here.
You can't give up game plan stuff to Hard Knocks people for ratings. All right. So we're both false on that one too. All right. So NFL true false number three, Bruce Smith would still be dominant in today's NFL. And I'm an absolute positive 100%. Yeah.
We're talking about Bruce in his prime.
Bruce Smith would still be dominant. And they have a list of like six guys, and Bruce was one of the names on it, of course. And I said yes.
Yeah, I would.
There's no question he would be.
Yeah, I would.
If you drafted Bruce Smith, yeah, he'd be the same guy.
I would say yes. Heavy hands, man. Heavy, heavy hands. You know, we just heard John Randall talking about Ed Oliver's hands and how impressive they are, and they are heavy. I mean, when Ed Oliver gets into you, you know it. I don't think enough people talk about Bruce and the way he would just one-arm people. And then once he got a hold of that quarterback's jersey, even with one hand.
Yeah, he was throwing them down.
He was never letting go. I've never seen – look, we're watching ones right now. He just ragdolled Boomer Esiason.
Yeah.
He gets one hand on the jersey, it's over.
Yeah. It's a good thing him and
– But here's the one thing, though, Steve, that I'd be interested in seeing, because I think you can agree, Bruce would have to do a lot more running to get his sacks with all the mobile quarterbacks we have now.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there were more pocket guys in his era.
But it's interesting.
Marino, Tony Eason, Steve Grogan. He'd have to do a lot more chasing now.
Marino's out. Dan Marino couldn't outrun a wounded puppy.
Well, right.
So, yeah. So Bruce didn't have to chase him very much, but he did have a really good offensive line, and he could get rid of the football. So you might hit him, but you didn't sack him. There's like six guys on this list, players who would have been dominant. I agree with all six of them. Lawrence Taylor was one of them. Dan Marino was another one. I agree. Dan would have been great in any era.
Yeah.
Lawrence Taylor would have been great in any era. Barry Sanders would have been great in any era. And, interestingly enough, our last guest, John Randall. And I agree with him there as well. He would have been dominant in any era.
He'd be even better. He could arguably be even better now.
He might be getting better now. And the last one, which may be a little bit controversial, Sterling Sharp, wide receiver, Green Bay Packers. Because he had a neck injury. He had an incredibly productive seven seasons before he got hurt. He's not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was Favre's number one guy.
He was third in the NFL in receiving yards over his 7 years behind Jerry Rice and Henry Ellard. He was productive, and he had showed no signs of slowing down until he got injured. There are a handful of guys in maybe every era that could be successful in every era, and I think no question Bruce is.
Yeah. The only thing, like I said, the only thing that makes me wonder a little bit, because I still think he would be a dominant pass rusher. I just wonder if he'd be able to accumulate the sacks that he did over that period of time, knowing that the prevalence of mobile quarterbacks is far higher than it was when he played. I mean, I'm not going to be able to name them off the top of my head, but I think a lot of guys were more pocket quarterbacks, strict pocket quarterbacks. You know, we're talking like Marino, not rolling out and buying time to make a play. You know, there were more guys of that ilk than the Josh Allens of the world. Do you know what I mean? Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, guys that can really get out and move, like really move. There's a lot more of them now.
Well, yeah, and if you can look at the line, I wonder if I...
I mean, Phillip Rivers, pocket guy. Tom Brady, pocket guy. I'm just trying to think of how many pocket guys we got here, you know? Kirk Cousins is kind of an in-between. Rodgers can get out of the pocket and move, you know? Matt Stafford, pocket guy.
Well, here's the thing. 76 quarterbacks Bruce Smith sacked.
Okay.
76 of them.
Let's see how many of them are truly mobile.
All right, let's just
Flutie.
See. And hold on. Now it says, there's no list here. Hold on. Oh, Ken O'Brien.
Is he a runner? I don't know.
No.
He's a pocket guy.
No.
You know, Flutie's one. I know he sacked Flutie in his career. There's a mobile guy.
Sure.
Who else was mobile back then? That would run around a lot. Harbaugh.
Randall. Cunningham.
Cunningham. Okay, good.
Elway could run.
Could run,
Joe
but was
Montana,
pocket.
Joe Montana, no. Warren Moon was not known as a runner, but he was an athlete. Steve Young was a really good runner. Steve Grogan was not a good runner. Matt Hasselbeck, no.
No.
You know, Ken O'Brien was not.
No.
Let's see, some of the other guys he did.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause. I think it would be an effective player. I think it'd be a Pro Bowl player, but I just don't know if he'd be getting 10, 11, 12, 13 sacks every season. You know?
Yeah.
Just with all the mobility that's in the league now. I mean, Russell Wilson, is he running down Russell Wilson?
Drew Bledsoe.
Is he running down?
Well, some guys are sacking.
Josh Allen, I don't know.
And let's face it too. This was he was on a team with Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, and some other guys. So it's interesting to think. I think he would be a Hall of Fame player in any era. I really do. I don't know that he'd get 200 sacks, but you don't have to have 200 sacks to get into the Hall of Fame.
No, but that would be the only thing that would give me pause.
That's right. All right, we're going to be right back to finish up here with
What Have We Learned?
With What Have We Learned. This is One Bills Live presented by Clyde of Health from One Bills Drive. We'll be back to finish up, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. What Have We Learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater and the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had John Randall, Hall of Famer, on the program today. We asked him about the comparisons between himself and the Bills' top draft pick, Ed Oliver, and he said he noticed one or two things that gave him some thoughts about how successful Ed Oliver could be, and here's what he said.
One of the things I noticed about from watching him was the way he uses his hands. And he uses his hands right off the bat. And what I mean by that is, as soon as he's coming out of his stance, he's using his hands. And that's one of the main biggest things that I did. But as soon as I came out of my stance, I was getting my hands out there, trying to get the offensive lineman's hands down. And when he's playing against it, when he's going over the center, if anything, that's one of the things I didn't do because I didn't like going down off in there messing with that center because you had a tendency to have that guard fall up on you. But if he's able to play up on that center, which he does, man, that just makes his game even
even better, because he's a guy that can jump down up on that nose and play the center for a couple plays and hop back out. And that just gives his depth of playing.
John Randall talking about Ed Oliver, saying that he liked what he saw from his hands. And John Randall was one of the great guys of all time using his hands. We've had one guy, Angelo, has been hanging on for quite a long time. I'm going to take one last opportunity to get him on the program. Angelo, thanks for hanging on, taking the time to call us. Steve Tasker and Chris Brown, what's on your mind?
Steve, my favorite player.
There you go. What do you got, Angelo?
Well, I go back when they were. You had a couple of questions about what would we need to keep Allen here when his contract runs out. Do you remember that?
Oh, that's been a while. Go ahead. What are your quick thoughts? Because we're running out of time. Go ahead, Angelo.
A couple of things listed, and the other one is other. And I tried to call in but couldn't get through, but I was going to come with other. And the thing that I thought would keep him here would be a roof on the stadium. No quarterback in his right mind wants to play in our Buffalo weather. Why himself if he said he did?
All right, well, that's interesting. Angelo, I think, I don't know, maybe you're right, but I don't know. Let's get to that. Let's hope we want Josh Allen to stay here so desperately we won't let him out of town. Let's do that.
With his army, doesn't need a roof.
Exactly. Chris Brownie, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah,
good
man.
Stuff today.
See you tomorrow.
All right, absolutely.
Right back here.
All right, well, thanks to our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltenek, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, and, of course, the ever jolly Jay Harris as our producer.
Jolly.
Thanks for being here. Jolly. I like that
okay.
name. I like that word, jolly.
Jolly Jay.
Back here again tomorrow. Don Beebe's coming on the show tomorrow, an old friend of mine and a teammate. And a lot of people know him. He's a head coach now. We'll ask him about that, and it'll be good to see it. And the field is taking shape. That's One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.